Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. And who are you?
I'm Anthony McCarthy. Bob Summerby is one of our favorite guests. He just makes us laugh, even when we're trying to be serious.
He doesn't have to say much. He just has to sit there.
He just looks a certain way.
From his years of being on stage as
a comedian.
Not
looks a certain way.
No, I understand.
But before we begin, let me say this. That the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Heart Center, where expert cardiologists, cardiac surgeons, nurses, and support staff have built a nationally recognized program focused on prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation. For a virtual tour of the Heart Center, www.umm.edu/heart, or you can go to the SteinerShow.org website and click on their link right there on our Steiner Show website. We are joined in the studio now by Bob Summerby, who is editor of the Daily Howler and a humorist. Used to be a stand-up comic. I still do some of that.
If you ask.
And you're listening to the Mark Steiner Show here, being broadcast from WEAA's public radio studios on Morgan State University's campus, 88.9 FM. And we are broadcasting for Free Speech TV across the nation. You can catch us on the web at Free Speech, catch us on the web at thesteinershow.org, or tune into the radio to the TV station that you're watching now. So, on with the show. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And if you have a cell phone, that's a toll-free number. Make the call. Join us as we talk about Juan Williams and the media. Or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Now, let me start with my dear brother and old friend and co-host on Mondays, Anthony McCarthy. You were very riled up about this firing in the beginning.
I was. Mark, it rubbed me the wrong way for days. And I think, let me start with NPR's statement. When we learned that Juan Williams had been dismissed from NPR, his duties with NPR, NPR was very clear that the comments that he had made on a Bill O'Reilly show on Fox were inconsistent with NPR news philosophy. And I think a lot of people accepted that. And in the beginning, initially, I think a lot of people understood the firing. As the conversation continued to go on in the next 24 hours, NPR seemed to become so inconsistent, Mark, with their rationale for the dismissal of Juan Williams. And it really began to stick in my craw. I began to get more and more angry because what we learned was, as we listened to the ombudsman at NPR, she does a tremendous job, the CEO of NPR, the news director at NPR, they all had very different statements and reasonings to support the firing of Juan Williams, mostly around the idea that the relationship with Fox and the relationship with NPR had become troubling and that there was this long-term discomfort with Juan Williams becoming more and more personal in his commentaries and opinions on Fox. And the ombudsman and the CEO pointed to the thousands of complaints that they get from listeners of NPR about Juan Williams' comments and commentaries on Fox. And so it became very clear to me that the first reasoning, which was the comments about him being nervous with Muslims and Muslim garb on airplanes, wasn't the real reason that NPR dismissed Juan Williams. And I give them, you know, they can dismiss whomever they want. For me, it was a question of integrity. It began to be this unpeeling of a banana or an onion or something. There were many reasons they wanted Juan Williams to go. And for me, that spoke to the integrity of NPR. And I became very frustrated. You know, you and I kept calling you, and then I got very frustrated and even had discussions about, even though the relationship with WEAA and NPR are a very loose relationship, but we are a public radio station. I had thought about even suspending the production of my show out of anger and disappointment with NPR's decision. And I'm glad cooler heads prevailed, but
I'll guarantee you that would have made you the Juan Williams one.
go ahead.
So
that's where I was. Now, as Fox gave him an extended contract for $2 million over 3 years, as he sat in that same day as the guest host for Bill O'Reilly, I began to see, unfortunately, that Juan Williams was, like most of us who are human, was taking full advantage of this situation and was coming out really financially and otherwise on top of his game. So I'm less upset about Juan Williams being fired, more upset with how NPR handled this. I think it could have been handled much, much better.
Bob Summerby.
They definitely could have handled it much, much better. And this is going to be very bad for NPR. It's extremely unfortunate. It just plays right into the narrative of liberal media. It amazes me as I read about the story. There must be something I don't understand. I keep reading that NPR gets 2% of its budget from federal sources. I cannot imagine for 2% for $3 million out of $150 million, why they keep taking money at all. Because if they just gave up that 2%, they could rebrand themselves as the little media that could. And we're the hard fighters that go out and we raise our money from our listeners. Mm-hmm. It's just I just can't even imagine why they take the political abuse
that
they take over a tiny. But that's just as foolish. And I keep thinking those numbers must be wrong because it makes so little sense that an organization would take the kind of abuse NPR takes, sometimes justifiably, from the right over such a relatively small amount of money. But the same kind of administrative fumbling was involved in the way Juan Williams was fired. Now, I'm going to probably differ with Anthony here. I did something about this on the Daily Howl today, and my feeling was, I think NPR kind of embarrassed itself. What I said was, I think they kind of embarrassed themselves with the way they handled this. But the bigger embarrassment, in my view, was the fact that they kept him around so long. I've never met him. I'm sure he's a nice person. He's the father of two sons. I'm sure he's a responsible member of the community. He's a very hackneyed pundit. He's the essence of the insider Washington punditry, which always colors within the lines. And unfortunately, the lines at Fox are different from the lines at NPR. He constantly does what he did in that O'Reilly. He's on O'Reilly every Monday night. He constantly does what he did last week. He goes on first, and before he can tell O'Reilly he's wrong, he has to tell O'Reilly he's right. And that's exactly what he did last Monday. He went on and said, I hate to massage your ego, but you're right about this one, Bill. And he went through the stuff about getting on the plane and what the Times Square bomber said. And then for the whole rest of the thing, he spent the whole time telling O'Reilly he was wrong.
He
does that. I posted today a transcript from a few weeks ago where he did the same thing about the so-called Ground Zero Mosque, where he goes on, first tells O'Reilly he's right, then tells him he's wrong. And he has to defer. Now, I'm not putting this on O'Reilly. This was Juan's doing. He seems to feel he has to defer to O'Reilly before he says anything that differs from O'Reilly, and it's just classic, horrible insider punditry. And, you know, he did an insulting segment about Michelle Obama the month she became first lady. He did an ugly, insulting segment about Hillary Clinton when she was first lady, while the gang all sat around laughing on Fox. I think it's an embarrassment for NPR that they put up with this for all these years. It's been lousy punditry. It's rude, it's silly, it's pointless. And, you know, granted they handled it very badly this week, but what took so long? And I don't understand it as a Juan Williams hater, but this has been going on a long time, and it's just bad for everybody.
Let's see what listeners think. Let's get them in because we have other issues to raise here. Many people raise issues of race in this. Did it play a role? What role? What's the difference between a commentator and a news analyst? How do we parse out what journalism is today? And reading Bob's Daily Howler, I can see he's going after all kinds of people. He's one of his favorite people to go after these days is Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow, that's right.
410-319, he's shaking his head now. For those of you listening on radio and can't see him on television, 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Chris.
Doing well, welcome.
I listen to you guys all the time. I really, really love your shows.
Thank you.
Anthony and Mark. And Anthony, you made a very, very good comment on Friday when you mentioned that you know, if you replace Muslim garb with, you know, a hat turned backwards and Timberland boots, you know what I mean? Should he have been fired for that? I think that, you know, because it's Muslim related to that community, I think that, you know, people who like to watch Fox News, they give it a pass because it's related to the Muslim community. If it had been anybody else, I think they would have been up in arms. I think that this looks like a political move on the part of Fox News. I kind of find it hard to believe that Juan Williams worked at NPR for 10 years and didn't know that they might have a problem with him saying him being offended or, you know, mentioning that on public TV. It seems to me like, you know, this could have been a political move on Fox's part as well as Juan Williams. He's coming out on top, making $2 million over 3 years. I think he should have been fired, bottom line. He was out of line for his comments. I think he should have been let go.
Chris, thanks so much. Bob?
And by the way, Fox is going to come out way ahead on this. You know, this is a very good politics for Fox. Now, again, I'm not taking anything away from them. They're taking advantage of this. They're by quickly giving him the big deal, they're presenting themselves as, we're the open-minded people who support freedom of speech, and we'll bring you over here, Juan, even though NPR doesn't seem to want any black commentators. I mean, this is clearly part of the messaging. It's very bad politics for NPR. It's very good politics for Fox. I will say this about what the caller said. I think it's important to say this. In the second half of Juan's appearance last Monday, he spent the whole second half of the appearance telling O'Reilly he was wrong. You shouldn't throw all Muslims in together. There you go again. It isn't all Muslims. It's extremist Muslims. And this is the point he made in the second half. But in the first half, he did the exact opposite, and that was the part that got put up online, and everyone began complaining about it. I really wonder, I'd love to know, if NPR staff even saw the full 8 minutes before they made their decision. I mean, Shirley Sherrod got fired.
Now, this thing
is not as clear-cut as the Shirley Sherrod case was, where everyone agreed she was completely misrepresented. It isn't as clear-cut as that. But it's not complete. It's rather similar, and I would love to know, did they see the whole tape before they made their decision? I'd just like to know that.
My guess would be probably not.
Yeah, that would be my guess too, I'd have to say.
And we're going to go to the next caller here in a second, 410-319-8888. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. We're talking about Juan Williams, the future of the media, where media is, race in media, objectivity in media, does it exist, public radio versus Fox. What do we think about when you think about journalism in America today? 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. And you're listening to the Mark Steiner Show. This is Monday with Anthony McCarthy. We're broadcasting from WEAA, our home studios in Baltimore, 88.9 FM, Morgan State University's campus, for free speech television watching across the country. Write to us, 410-319-8888, steinershow@gmail.com. Bob Sorenby, editor of the Daily Howler, which you can link to on our website, is our guest. But on the way to the phones here, and Ernest, you're the next caller up. We're going to come to your call after this. You raised the issue a little bit about race, and race has become an issue in this. Some people thinking, A, that he was fired because he was black. That has come up more than once on different talk shows. B, National Public Radio, for all its alleged liberalness, is a very white network. Juan Williams was the only African-American male commentator on the station. They have now hired one other person who I'm not sure who that is yet, but I didn't get the name. Do you know the name?
No. I think we just got an
announcement. So that's part of it. And then the other side of it is a very conservative right-wing TV like Fox loves having a black commentator. They can say, look, we're not really racist. We love black people. We have one now. And so it's...
No, Fox is expert at having a range of pundits who seem to be liberal but express relatively conservative views. Now, Williams seems to be liberal because he's a black guy, so he must be liberal. And he's not particularly liberal, and especially when he goes on Fox. I have to say, he does tailor a bit to fit the channel. Not always. Sometimes he flat out disagrees with O'Reilly, but often by deferring to him first. So there's a whole range of commentators on Fox who seem to be liberal for some reason, but they're actually not that liberal. So it sort of redefines what the liberal view is. When here's Juan Williams, and he's a black guy, and he agrees with O'Reilly. That's basically the way it works. And there's others who fit in different categories like that.
Thoughts before you open the phone?
No. Mm-mm.
All right. 410-319-8888. What are your thoughts? A lot of people are calling in now. Let's go to Ernest. I said we come to you first. You're on the air. Hi, Ernest. You're on the air?
Hi,
you're on the air. Whoop. Where'd everybody go? We just seem to have lost all of our guests. Where are we going now? Who's on the air?
Ernest,
you're on the air, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It said Ernest on my board. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, this is Jim. Is that you?
Well, Juan Williams should have been fired. Juan Williams supported Clarence Thomas.
Could you turn down your radio, Ernest? We're getting feedback.
I don't have a radio on.
I think it's another line.
I apologize. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ernest.
Juan Williams supported Clarence Thomas going on to the Supreme Court, knowing what type of person Clarence Thomas is. Juan Williams is just like Armstrong Williams, and all the rest of those people that go on television. And we call them Uncle Toms or Happy Negroes. Now, I don't understand, knowing, and your guest is absolutely right. He's on the black radio. He's talking about Thurgood Marshall. He never had no conversation with Thurgood Marshall to write his book. Thurgood Marshall detested a person like Juan Williams. Matter of fact, when describing him and Clarence Thomas, he says a black poisonous snake is just as dangerous as a white poisonous snake. He was talking about Juan Williams and Clarence Thomas. So for any black person, I bet you won't hear Harry Belafonte saying that he's sorry and Juan Williams got fired because he's black. And no black thinking a person would think that Juan Williams was black. On white radio, he's one way. On black radio, he's a freedom fighter. And when he goes on Fox radio, he's a Uncle Tom and Porch Monkey. Matter of fact, a professor up in Syracuse called them because he was making disparaging mark about some black person, that he's a happy Negro. And then I forgot what his name is, but I think his name is Professor Watkins of Syracuse University. When he was asked about Juan Williams, he said he's a happy Negro. And that's what he is.
Well, let's help. But what you're saying is, let me throw this out. I mean, one of the things I interviewed Juan Williams for his book on Thurgood Marshall. I thought it was really a great book.
Great book.
He hit a lot of nails in the head on that book. Not as much as his book I interviewed him for the next book, which was kind of mimicking of Bill Cosby's kind of thing. But that book on Thurgood Marshall, I think, was a really good biography. I mean, I actually learned a lot about a man I admire greatly in that book. But I mean, Anthony, make sure you pick up on what Ernest was saying.
Well, I think it's very interesting, and I'm a big fan of Ernest's commentaries when he calls the show.
I think it's
unfair, the things he's saying about Juan Williams, because I think we're putting the same standard on Juan Williams that we don't hold other people to. I think that we hold black commentators to a different standard. As Bob said, I think that the folks on Fox look at Juan Williams and they think he's a liberal. I think blacks look at him and expect him to be a liberal. And when he expresses anything other than what would be some standard liberal position, African Americans do view him as an Uncle Tom, a traitor to the race, and a happy Negro. And I think it's unfortunate because I think that we are not monolith. We have many voices within the African American community. I did find at times, I will admit, I would get very frustrated because of Juan's, that formula that Bob mentions. He would begin every conversation, not just with Bill O'Reilly, but with the other Fox shows that he would appear on as a guest. He would really always defer to their position as understandable, and I see how you've reached that point. But then he would go on. And in an extraordinary way, I find his work to be extraordinary at times, would articulate a great position and vision for an opposite position of almost everybody that was on the same panel with him. And I think NPR, you brought up race, and I've been very hesitant to say this, I think they made an extraordinary mistake in firing him without giving deference. Now, we're going to get a lot of callers who are going to be upset about what I'm about to say. Giving deference to the fact that he is one of the few African-American voices in NPR. I think that thought process should have gone through the mind of the CEO and the news director and even the ombudsman.
But why is he the only black? I mean, that's the thing. If they have had a long running, and by the way, I accept your view about the value of some of his commentary. I haven't, watching him, especially on Fox, I don't feel I've seen him offering valuable commentary in the last several years. But why is he the only black commentator on NPR? I mean, if they've had a long-running problem or debate with him, which clearly they have. I mean, this mm-hmm. came up last year with the Michelle Obama
without
thing.
Without question, yeah.
I agree with you that they must have felt a little bit odd firing their only black commentator. Why was he their only black commentator? That's the other puzzle in this. Because I find it hard to believe he was bringing such value that they couldn't find anyone else who had a position or a point of view. And I don't have any objection to a black expressing a conservative view. But the problem with Juan, from my standpoint, is I think even more than most pundits in Washington, he does tailor his views. Charles Krauthammer is a big Obama basher on Fox, but it's so clear it's what he really thinks. I actually find it a little bit refreshing at this point. I mean, he clearly is saying what he believes. With Juan, I never feel anymore that is he saying anything he believes here? I never get the sense that he is when he's on Fox.
And I think that there's still a segregation in the media in terms of whose faces are seen and whose bylines are seen. Not all media, but in a lot of media. And I think for some strange reason, National Public Radio is one of those places. I had this conversation with Tavis Smiley a number of times,
yep.
Just about this particular issue. And Tavis and I talked a number of times, threatened to maybe say next time there's a big NPR conference, we should have a things just devoted to race and NPR. I mean, it's like things when they're hosted NPR, they are often pigeonholed into shows directed at their ethnicity. You know, I mean. Michelle Martin, I think, is one of the best interviewers in America. She's me and Terry Gross, the two of the best around, and they really are phenomenal. But you know, she has a show, Tell Me More, that is not just directed at the black community, but clearly has that focus. And it's what's also interesting to me about the media in general is that when you have an African-American host to any show, they seem to be able to find African-American experts on every topic under the sun, whether it's oceanography, nuclear physics, or civil rights.
That's right.
Right? But we can never seem to find African-American or voices of color, faces of color on any issue unless it has to do with race or social issues in any other media.
But this is a big problem with Washington punditry, of which NPR is a part on the national level. There's a very small intermarried group of people. They're all each other's brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces. You know, I mean, honest to God, they're all married to each other, and they're married to your uncle. And there's a tiny, a very small group. They're social friends. They're, you know, and this is the National Pundit Corps, and almost all punditry that you get from national news organizations, including NPR, comes from this very small group, a small inbred group, and that's who they pick from over and over and over. It's bad for everybody.
Bob, let me ask you real quick, because I know we want to go back to the...
Many people calling in. We'll try to get them. Don't hang up, folks, for coming to you. There's plenty of time left.
Could you explain to me how you see, because I respect your opinion so much, how you see this delineation between a news analyst and a commentator?
Yeah, it's so hard to understand that. Although I will say this. Now, NPR's Mara Liasson is on NPR all the time. She walks the
line. She's on Fox a lot.
Yeah, she's on Special Report there at 6 p.m., you know, news hour. And it creates an odd situation where she's part of their panel of so-called all-stars where they'll have two hard-right conservative commentators offering hard-right conservative commentary, and she sits there offering news analysis, which is she never says what she thinks. She just does straight analysis, and it creates a weird kind of – and there again, well, she's the woman from NPR, so she must be a liberal. And, of course, she's not stating any views, but she's following – I presume that she's following NPR guidelines in a careful – disciplined way. Now, Juan said that he had a different contract and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, we don't know what the truth is there. But here again, it's an odd situation that gets created in that case because she's on the air playing by a whole different set of rules than the two conservative guys she's on there with who are sounding up fine. That's their right. But she's walking a different line. So it's the whole thing is weird. And obviously, she does play by different rules than Juan plays by when he goes on O'Reilly or when he does the other shows on Fox.
But I'm going to come back and we see people are dropping off. Come back. 410-319-8888. We want to hear your thoughts on all this. Or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Franz, you're on the air. Franz, you're on the air. Can we get him up?
Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Hi. Welcome.
You're on the air.
Franz, you're on the air.
Who is this?
Yeah, didn't you just call into the Mark Steiner Show?
Yeah, but you're saying, it sounds like you're saying Franz.
Well, it says Franz on my screen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's
it's
your name?
Fran.
Fran, I'm sorry.
Fran.
Welcome,
that's okay.
Fran.
That's okay. Just got a simple and short, sweet comment for you today.
Okay.
And this is it. I really don't know all the particulars of all the politics and everything that you're saying with this commentator and stuff, but I can just say this. I think we're all getting tired of these kind of comments and stuff coming on. I think we want fresh material. I think we need to rise to comments that are in sync more with the times. I think if we keep commenting like this guy was doing, we will never move ahead. We will never progress. We will never grow up. And we need to do that. And, you know, those kind of comments, there are, you know, networks that do that kind of publicity where you can do that kind of stuff. You can hear anything, basically, you want to hear anywhere. But I think, you know, we just need to we need to make our comments with the times, you know, and that's all I wanted to tell you.
All right, well, we'll come back.
That.
We'll take a short break and come back. David in the West Side, you're on your next caller up. The number here is 410-319-8888. We're talking about Juan Williams and his firing by National Public Radio and what your thoughts are about that. What does it have to do with journalism? What does it have to do with race, if anything? And another issue I think that Fran just raised, we'll try to tackle in the next half an hour, is a question of what people are tired of what? I mean, we have a media now that is very separate politically in this country. You have the right, and you have kind of a semi-left thing on MSNBC, and you've got... So let's parse through that when we come back. And who fits where? And what are you watching why? 410-319-8888. And part of that would be why somebody who's on sort of the left side of the spectrum doesn't like Rachel Maddow. We'll talk about that, too.
Not so, always.
Not. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
I'm Anthony McCarthy.
Anthony McCarthy is my co-host every Monday here on the Mark Steiner Show. He has his own show here Fridays, same time slot, 5 to 7 p.m. You're listening to the Mark Steiner Show here, broadcasting live from WEAA, our radio studios, our home studio here at Morgan State University, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And we're broadcasting on and for Free Speech TV. Heard around the country. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Our guest this hour is humorist and editor of the Daily Howler, Bob Summerby, who's been coming on the show for many years as a political analyst and a media commentator and a media critic. And we're talking about the Juan Williams firing and all that that engenders in this conversation. Number here is 410-319-8888. David on the West Side and Brandon out in Glen Oak. Not sure which Glen Oak that is, but hold on, and we're going to come to your call in just a minute. I want to pick on the topic we just said, and I think, Ben, that may be your comment, so hold on and get your feedback on that. Is what media are we talking about here is what the last caller was bringing up, Fran. I mean, you've got the clearly right-wing-fueled money behind Fox TV, and they have a very clear point of view. MSNBC, which has, people say, a liberal left-wing point of view, then they have, you know, shows about how to lock up black people at night.
They're horrible.
So you've got National Public Radio, which says it is the home of objective journalism. So the question is, I mean, what do we think anymore that this all means? I mean, we people are very confused about what to believe, what real journalism is, and how you even parse through it. Walter Cronkite is gone.
Yeah, you know, my problem with MSNBC, aside from the way they just stampede to their crime shows all weekend, I mean, they still haven't quite brought themselves to be a full-scale news channel. They still do their, you know, their sex chase shows and their let's visit prison shows. I mean, it's been a disgusting corporate entity ever since it began. Now they have at least started defining themselves as a liberal news channel, you know, during the week, which is fine with me, but I just think they're chasing Fox and Fox's methods. You know, they're not like Fox yet, but I have to say they're trying very hard. Some good work is done on MSNBC. Rachel Maddow is doing a report tonight about the assassination of Dr. Tiller, the abortion provider, which right. I assume will be very informative and very important. But a lot of what they do on MSNBC, I think they're increasingly going in the direction of silly pandering to liberal viewers, the same way Fox panders to conservative viewers, offering the silliest kind of conservative presentations. I think MSNBC is increasingly offering the silliest kind of liberal presentations. I don't think that's good for anybody. I don't think it really can ever serve progressive interests in the long run. I just don't see that working for progressives. It's good for them on the bottom line. They're doing a lot better in the business sense because of this approach. But I think their work is often bad. And I think it's unfortunate.
Now, I'm gonna get some callers here and probe that some more. But I think that there's – it's the tailing after mimicking the conservative TV. Every time somebody has a chance to do something different, it ends up mimicking what we already have as opposed to kind of creating something new. Now, I'm going to explore that a bit. And what are your thoughts on that? What would you like to see on television and here on the radio in terms of media and news reporting? What are you looking for? 410-319-8888. David, you're on the air.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. But first of all, I would like to see reporters just report what happened, not give me their opinion at all. I listen to MSNBC, and, you know, like I said, it is slanted, but I listen to the other stations like Fox to get the slant the other way, so I kind of balance it myself. But one of the reasons I called is, why do you think so much was made of Juan Williams and hardly anything was said about Rick Sanchez being fired?
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, partly because Juan Williams was fired by NPR, and this is a longstanding political campaign of the right. You know, NPR has been a longstanding target as the quote-unquote liberal media and the quote-unquote taxpayer-funded liberal media. So this has been a longstanding political. It was just like a big fat pitch right down the middle of the plate for Fox. This is what they've been. This is where Sanchez at CNN. It was a less clear-cut situation, and it just didn't fit in as simply into any pre-existing narrative. I would think that's the main reason.
And NPR is a news system that is listened to and loved by many, many, many millions more than watch either MSNBC or Fox News. At least 20 million people listen to the morning edition every morning.
That's bigger than Fox.
410-319-8888. Brandon, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Brendan.
Brendan, I'm sorry.
It's okay. For me, cable news is just too flashy and entertainment-oriented. I mean, like, if I want to be entertained by the news, I watch The Daily Show or Stephen Colbert. But as for any cable news station, MSNBC, the liberals, or Fox News, you know, they're all speaking pretty much, it seems to me, for ad corporations and just giant corporations that buy advertising and don't speak to for a community other than that. I enjoy public radio especially because it seems to me that this is much more oriented towards the people who are listening to it and trying to represent their views. So if I'm in a different community, I'm going to hear different things on their public radio stations, especially college stations. I'm sure they want it to be exciting, but radio just isn't exciting. So it's much better for news and understanding what's being said rather than getting all excited and entertained about something, which easily makes people manipulated.
That's an interesting point. I mean, it's one thing I've said about NPR, despite the issues we talked about around race and NPR, is that its news and the depth of its news is significantly different than what you see on Fox or almost anywhere else on television or even here on the radio. It's not the same. And that's why people are tuning into it. I wish it were a little bit more diverse in its programming. It would help it and the nation, I think.
In its hiring, because, Mark, you made a great point. It is frustrating at times, and I am a part of an African-American media organization, the National Association of Black Journalists. And at one point, NPR was going to get the most horrible award that we give to anyone is for their lack of diversity. Now, but no one can argue the quality of the work that is done at NPR. But there seems to be a real lack of perspective that sees it important to bring diverse voices to these commentaries. And I get frustrated by it. When you talk about the media, I mean, even something like Meet the Press, which I do not miss ever. But you look at the commercials that come between the commentaries and the conversations, and it's the oil companies, it's the financial companies, it's the and you have to wonder who's paying for this broadcast.
And the broadcasters are paid $5 million a year, $10 million a year. I think if there was one thing I would institute to inform the public better about the news business, I would make the news organizations post their salaries right under their chins every time they go on the air, so you could see what David Gregory is paid. I don't think people have any idea the gigantic sums of money these people are paid, and when people are paid those sums, they're partly being paid for obedience. Let's just be honest. They're being paid to walk the corporate line, and NBC News is owned by a corporate owner. It was clear in the late 90s that GE was just driving them against Clinton and Gore. I mean, they just ran roughshod over Clinton and then candidate Gore for 2 years. You just can't tell me that was not connected to the fact that Jack Welch, the conservative Republican, fine, he has every right to be, was then the head of GE, and he was running that news organization. And so I would like to see $5 million right under David Gregory's chin when he talks about public schools and let's fire all the teachers who aren't trying hard enough.
But when you look at media in other countries, when you look at BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, which is wholly funded by the British government, it is probably one of the best, quote-unquote, most objective news you'll find anywhere on the planet. You look at Al Jazeera's news. Now, and Al Jazeera, I'm beginning to find, is an incredible place to listen to. I mean, they do some really good work. And so it can be done. And this is money that these are stations without commercials, without corporate backing. And therein lies the difference.
Even Great Britain, large as it is a more homogeneous political society than we are. We're a very truncated, bifurcated political society. That's why the previous caller said he would just like to hear news, not opinion. I'm going to disagree with that because I think there's a need for someone to do an intelligent response to the opinion journalism that's being pounded out by Fox all the time and by the whole right-wing apparatus that began to grow up in the last, let's say, 25 years. So I would love to see an intelligent opinion rebuttal to that type of opinion journalism. There's also room, obviously, for good news development, good news presentation.
I'd like to see somebody, if they could have a channel or kind of a place for news that would combine Jon Stewart with Frontline with good news. I mean, putting it all together. I mean, it's interesting that I had this conversation with people about Jon Stewart. You raised Jon Stewart a moment ago, Anthony, and we had this. We were covering One Nation after for Free Speech TV all day long at the demonstration there, and for this station. And we had discussion. There was a difference of opinion about the role Jon Stewart plays, and that Jon Stewart, you know, in his march coming up on 10/30/10, right? and what relevance is it? But what people don't get about Jon Stewart is that Jon Stewart, in his satiric way, is appealing to a huge crowd of people in their 40s and younger. As one of my producers said to me, as we were talking about this on the way down to do some taping on the Eastern Shore the other day, it was Christina Arison, said, Jon Stewart teaches our generation how to look at the government critically.
And by the way,
that's what he does.
Can I say something? Know? And this is a horrible thing to say. Jon Stewart's punditry and commentary is much smarter than the punditry you get from the mainstream Washington pundit world, including NPR. I'm sorry to say it. He is smarter. He and his staff are smarter in the way that I'm not saying he's always right. He isn't always. No one's always right. But he is smarter.
He let Condoleezza Rice kind of slide right through there and get out the door without saying anything.
He is not just a comedian. His analyses and his perspective and his sense of what's worth poking at is much brighter than what you get all over the world of insider Washington punditry, of which Juan Williams was a part. And it's that small, closed circle of insider pundits who have they all went to sleep 25 years ago. They repeat narratives. You know what they're going to say. You know before they say it, you could say it for them. It's not smart. It's just dumb commentary, and it's all over Washington.
What do you think? 410-319-8888. Does Jon Stewart get it? Nobody else around in the world of media? Who do you listen to and what grabs you about what they're saying? And I'm really curious what your thoughts about 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow at gmail.com. You listen to The Mark Steiner Show with Anthony McCarthy and our guest Bob Summerby here at WEAA 88.9 FM here on Free Speech TV. Join us at 410-319-8888. Do you watch Jon Stewart?
I do. I enjoy Jon a lot. And as Bob said, there's something so smart about what he and his writers do every night. Because they are making a very clear statement about the news of the day. But they also, there is a, I can't say it on radio, but there is a BS meter that he.
BS? What does that stand for?
Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts, yes. That he cuts through that I see other commentators like Rachel Maddow and Oberman and others try. But Jon Stewart really does come across. And, Mark, I swear it's the funniest thing. He can be cutting someone to the quick, but does it in such a smart, informative way that I don't get when Rachel Maddow's going after the right. She does it in such a hateful, holier-than-thou way that I find it sometimes too much to bear. And then Keith Oberman just blows me away.
By the way, you can't spell MSNBC without BS. I've just noticed by looking. That's just a joke. Just a joke.
But it,
some of their work is good.
Some of the work is good. But I'm going to go to the phones here, right here. But I mean, mm-hmm. when I watch Keith Oberman, the whole thing with throwing the papers across, it just bothers me. I mean, it's like you can disagree vehemently and fight for a point
yes.
of view and really believe in what you're doing and not be disrespectful to people who don't have an opinion. And I'm not talking about being disrespectful to, you know, crazy racist right-winger or homophobes who want to kill people. I'm talking about...
Which is everyone that doesn't agree with them. Go ahead.
No, exactly. That's the problem. I mean, I did you'll hear a conversation on our show Thursday that we did on our program on Delmarva on the Eastern Shore. And we take this incredible conversation with a scientist, a oyster historian, a shellfish scientist, Tom Horton, who's one of our regulars on that show, and Russell Dyes, who is a sixth-generation waterman. People didn't agree, but it was the most interesting program to hear their different points of view about how they live their lives, what they think should do about this precious resource we have, and how to deal with it. And people knew what my point of view is walking in. But you have respect for somebody, and maybe you'll learn something from the other side you didn't know before you started if you just listen. That's the problem.
Well, MSNBC is increasingly narrowcasting to the nation's liberals. Unfortunately, that's 20% of the population by self-identification. Fox is narrowcasting to the conservatives. That's 40%. And I just don't think it's a good business model, and I think they're increasingly trying. That's what they're doing. I think from 6 o'clock on, it's just clear that's what they're doing.
Let's go. I'm sorry.
No,
go. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Rick in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just thinking about what that youngster said about just wanting to get the straight news. You know, everybody's got opinions. All of us do. And I mean, you know, our opinions are as valid as all these pundit idiots. You know, we can come up with an analysis as good as they can. You know, you already know what they're going to say before they open their mouth. I mean, I, you know, just sitting here talking to myself in the TV, I can outwit most of them, you know.
What do you watch? What do you read? Where do you get your information from?
I didn't watch TV for like 20 years, and the O.J. Simpson trial came on. I started watching that,
uh-huh.
and I went from that to C-SPAN, and I started watching some of these political shows. You know, like Meet the Press, it's getting where I can't even stomach that, you know. Like, and that girl that's doing the one Brinkley used to do, Amanpour.
Christiane Amanpour.
You know, it's like they come up with some of the dumbest things that they ask these people, like, you know, they'll lead them into an answer with their question, and you know, it's just idiotic sometimes. Like, well, what do you think about, you know, whatever? You know, who cares what they think about whatever? You know, just give us the information, and we can figure out what we think. You know,
I'd like to hear what Bob. I'm sorry, hold on a second, Rick. I'm going to hear what our friend Bob Summerby here in the studio thinks. Bob,
about
what Rick was saying.
Yeah. Well, I don't watch Meet the Press anymore because, you know, when Tim Russert was running it, you had to watch it because it would make news. Now it's pretty much just a rehash of what you've seen all week long on the other talk channels, opinion channels. So there's no news. I must say, you know, I'm hoping that Christiane Amanpour creates a smarter Sunday program. I don't know if she will. She comes from a sort of a different – she's not part of the – not really. She's not really part of that inside, although she's married to Jamie Rubin, who's part of the inside political clique. But I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything more to add.
Well, they don't. One of the things I've noticed, and I really appreciate being by the show, Rick, and I think your opinion is important, and thanks for watching. That what's going on in Meet the Press is that, you know, when I watch it, which is rarely these days, I don't watch that much
anymore.
Yeah, very
true. Nothing happens. I watch it every week.
They're not asking probing, tough, hard questions at all anymore. I mean, they don't. It's become a place where those in power come and have their say without being challenged.
Michael Steele came on this Sunday. Now, does anyone want to, not because he's Michael Steele, does anyone want to see either the head of the DNC or the head of the, well, you know exactly what they're going to say.
Unless you're going to push them on what they're saying.
Unless you're going to push. And no. And that's why they need that $5 million thing underneath David Gregory's chin, because he's paid $5 million, and there's something rather odd about that.
I caught for a moment when Bonner was on. He was just like the minority leader, just kind of lying through his teeth about what he voted for. He just completely dishonest about what he was thinking. Not one person on that panel challenged him on anything he was saying. And I don't care if it's Bonner, Republican, or Democrat, whoever, but challenge them on what they're saying. No, and no one's doing it.
And the standard is you ask them twice and you move on. And every politician in Washington knows how to evade an answer twice. And then politely, the hosts move on, and they all hang out together at cocktail parties. And that is how it works.
They go to each other's.
They are friends
of
with
the
each
children,
other.
And
absolutely.
But the other thing, Mark, about Meet the Press and several of the Sunday shows that we really rely on. A lot of people really rely on them to get the inside Washington commentary on what's going on. Is that too often, whether it's Harold Ford Jr. or Rachel Maddow or Kratmeyer, they're pushing a book or they're pushing a new – they really are bought on there because they're friends with the host and they have a product. Now, I'm not so mad that they have a product, but it becomes clear to me that their commentary is the least important reason they are participating in that conversation.
Which is why sometimes it's more important to have conversations on the air with people on the ground and people who are reading, writing, and really thinking about an issue in a real serious way to kind of draw out some stuff for our listeners and viewers to kind of grab a hold of, because the rest becomes pablum in many ways.
No, it is pablum. And you know, if you watch Meet the Press next Sunday, you know what you're going – if you just look at the guest
lineup.
List. Look at the guest list. I can tell you what you're going to hear before you watch it. There's no reason to watch it. You know what you're going to hear.
Let us try to get on the caller in here. In the brief time we have left, we have time for one quick thought from Richard. You're on the air. The last thought of the day from a listener. Go ahead, or a viewer.
Hello?
Richard, very fast.
Okay. I'm against Juan Williams being fired, but I thought his comment was silly because the Muslims who I would be scared of would not be the ones that are dressed up in Muslim garb, but the ones who are trying to disguise themselves.
Right. Or I'm just blocked in the same. I was going to make a very cute comment back, and I just blew it because I can remember the name. Oklahoma City.
Oh, Timothy McVeigh. No,
yeah. Or dress up like Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or the Atlanta Olympics bomber.
It's between him and a psychiatrist, as the head of NPR said.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
That's right.
She's apologized for that.
She did.
Well, gentlemen, this has always been a pleasure to have you here. Bob Stonebridge, always great to have you on the air.
Good
you bring
to be
us
here.
Some really good things to the airways for us. I really appreciate it. Check him out, The Daily Howler. My friend Anthony McCarthy.
Great to be with you, Mark. See you again next Monday.
See you next Monday and next Tuesday. Join us at Busboys and Poets, 6-hour live broadcast for Free Speech TV, covering the news. Amy Goodman, Laura Flanders in New York, folks in Denver, us in Washington. Join us there for 6 hours. Come have dinner, hang out, ask questions, and be part of the evening as we see what happens to the future of this nation with this election taking place. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our intern today is Jake Mendelson. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cut. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, find out information about our guests and the topics we discuss, Visit us on the web at steinershow.org. Stay tuned now. David Brown's coming up with April Yvonne Garrett to talk about a very important film to be shown here that you don't want to miss, and a very good conversation. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, and for Free Speech TV, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.